The Foresight Chronicles by John Galsworthy, dramatized by David Spencer. With Dirk Bogarde as Galsworthy, Alan Howard as Soames Foresight, Amanda Redman as Fleur, Gary Bond as Michael, and Gary Cady as John. Episode 16.
Fleur. Fleur in her Goya dress. Grape-coloured. La Vendimia, the vintage. Yes, she should be painted. A real portrait of Fleur.
Have a look at the pictures, by all means.
Oh.
I hope June's out, Fleur.
She's probably lurking upstairs, Dad. She doesn't want to see you any more than you want to see her.
But she always spoke her mind.
Fleur's new venture, the Mead's Rest House, as it was called, was opened at the end of August. All this time, Fleur had possessed herself with only the scantiest news of John.
A self-portrait? Yes, the details are not at all bad.
Tranquilized by his daughter's amiability, Soames had revived the idea of Fleur's being painted by June's lame duck, Harold Blade, the Raphaelite.
June Forsythe? You got her to the life. To the life!
He's better than I thought he'd be. Turned his back on modernity.
But that's young John Forsythe's wife.
Yes, Dad. What do you think of that?
Finished?
Yes. Going down to them tomorrow.
That's quite clever. The lily's excellent. Well, I've fixed that. You can begin sitting when you like. Oh, the car's here. Can I take you home?
No, dear. I'm going to check on a design.
A design?
Material for the rest house.
Oh, take care of yourself, then, and don't overdo it.
I won't.
Like a mother cat who carefully misleads the household as to where she's going to lay her kittens, so Fleur disguised her roundabout designs. She began to walk towards her eastward-bound bus as Soames' car moved west. He did not see her stop and retrace her steps to June's.
What have you come back for?
Partly for the pleasure of seeing you, June, and partly because we forgot to arrange for the first sitting. I think my best time would be 3 o'clock.
Yes, I think Harold could manage that. What do you think I ought to wear? Oh, I expect Harold will want an artificial scheme with you.
Exactly. But what colour? One must come in something.
We'll go up and ask him.
Gold and silver.
Now, isn't that extraordinary? He's seen through you at once. Your gold and silver room. Harold, how did you?
I happen to have an old folly dress, silver and gold, with bells that I haven't worn since I was married.
A folly, the very thing. If it's pretty, some are hideous, of course.
Oh, it's pretty. It makes a charming sound.
He can't paint that.
Don't make your face up.
No? Oh, June, I do so like that of Anne. Has it struck you that she's sure to want John painted now?
Of course. I'll make him promise when he comes tomorrow.
Men hate being painted.
Oh, that's all nonsense. They'll make a splendid pair.
3 o'clock tomorrow, then.
John's coming to lunch, but he'll be gone before you come. Goodbye, my dear.
Goodbye, June.
Au revoir, Mr. Blade.
I can't be seen from the house just here, and I can watch him leaving after lunch, whichever way he goes. Oh, but he'll have to take a taxi because of the picture. Really, it's such nonsense that I, whom he loved first, should have to scheme to see him. But if I don't, I never shall. What a ninny I was at Wansdon in those first days. My room was next to his. One little act, and nothing and no one could have kept him from me for all time. Well, Mr. Blade, are you going to paint my cousin John?
He didn't want to be, but she made him. Could you just turn? That's it. Lovely.
When do you begin?
Tomorrow. He's coming every morning for a week. What's the good of a week?
If he's only got a week, why doesn't he stay here?
He won't be without his wife, and she's got a cold.
Oh. Then wouldn't it be more convenient for him to sit early in the afternoons?
How about this brocade for the background, Harold? Silver and gold threads.
Fine.
I was just saying, June, I'd like to come at 10 every morning, then I get my afternoons free from my rest house down at Dorking. Couldn't you get John to come in the afternoons instead? It'll suit him better.
I don't see why not, dear.
Good. Only don't let him know I'm being painted. Well, until it's recognisable. If you telephone him then, June, I'll come tomorrow at 10.
For yet one more day, Fleur possessed her soul. And then, accidentally, she left her vanity bag behind her in the studio and called for it just as John's sitting had ended.
I wouldn't have bothered, but it's got my checkbook in it and I'll need it down at Dorking tonight. Did you know I was your fellow victim, John? We've been playing box and cocks.
I did know. It's nice to see you, Fleur.
I hear Anne's got a cold. Give her my sympathy.
I will.
Is the picture going well? Oh, yes, it's going to be splendid. I can quite see the line.
Can you? I can't.
Ah, here's my wretched bag. If you finished, John, I could run you out as far as Dorking. You'd catch an earlier train. Oh, do come and cheer me on my way. Haven't seen you for such ages. See you tomorrow, Mr. Blade. I go down every evening about this time, John, and drive up in the morning early. So any afternoon you like, I can take you as far as Dorking. Why shouldn't we see a little of each other in a friendly way, John?
When we do, it doesn't seem to make for happiness, Fleur.
My dear boy, what is happiness? Surely life should be as harmlessly full as it can be.
Harmlessly?
The Raphaelite says you have a terrible conscience, John.
The Raphaelites have bound her.
Yes, but a clever one. Look, John, dear, be a friend to me, as they say, and we won't think of anything else. Have you bought that farm?
Not quite.
We're near Robin Hill. Let's look at it through the trees. It might inspire you to a poem.
I'll never write any more verse. It's quite gone.
Nonsense, John. You only want stirring up. Don't I drive well, considering I've only been at it 5 weeks?
You do everything well, Fleur.
You say that as if you disapproved. Do you know, we'd never danced together before that night at Nettlefold. Shall we ever dance together again?
Probably not.
Optimistic, John. That's right. Smile. I suppose you think me a frightful butterfly.
No, Fleur. Far from it. The butterfly has no knowledge of the straight line between two points.
What do you mean by that?
That you set your heart on things.
Did you get that from the Raphaelite?
No. But he confirmed it.
That young man talks too much. Look, there's Robin Hill.
I had a lovely time there.
Till I came and spoiled it?
No. That's blasphemy.
That's nice of you, dear John. You always were nice, and I shall always love you. In a harmless way. When you get home, shall you tell Anne you've been driving with me?
Why not?
She's uneasy about me as it is, isn't she? You needn't answer, John, but I think it's unfair of her. I want so little, and you're so safe.
Safe?
Now you've got your lion cub look. Do lion cubs have consciences? I think your conscience might stop before telling Anne, though. It's a pity to worry her if she has a talent for uneasiness.
Don't, Fleur.
That was... I meant... John?
I said it wouldn't work.
No, you've got to let me see you sometimes, John. This is harmless enough. I must and will see you now, and then it's owed to me.
Oh, Fleur, don't.
I'm trying to be good, John, and you must help me. Dear John. And don't worry, Anne, about me, I beseech you.
On the Monday, when John came out of June's house after sitting, he saw Fleur's car.
I do so want to show you my house at Dorking today. I suppose June spoke to you, but I'm a reformed character, John. Get in and see.
The reformed character played her part to perfection.
I like America.
Oh, I liked it all right. I made quite a profit, too, on my orchard when I sold it.
I wonder you came back, John.
The day was dull, neither lighted nor staged for emotion.
The fact is, John, you're old-fashioned.
How?
Take sex. I couldn't discuss sex with you.
Can you with other people?
Oh, with nearly everyone. Don't frown like that. You'd be awfully out of it in London, my dear. Or New York, for that matter.
I hate fluffy talk about sex. French are the only people who understand sex. It isn't to be talked about as they do here in America. It's much too real.
Then let us drop that hot potato.
Many hot potatoes were dropped during that journey, and not a word suggested that they were other than best friends.
Have you brought Green Hill Farm yet?
Nothing's final.
Farming. All that countryside.
You're too intelligent to live in London.
My dear boy, the modern young woman doesn't live anywhere. She floats in an ether of her own.
She touches Earth sometimes, I suppose.
Yes, you're right, John. She touches Earth sometimes.
She likes to make herself out a butterfly. But at heart, Fleur. At heart.
Goodbye.
At heart.
Bless you.
The way she cares for those girls at the rest house. At heart. At heart. At heart.
The memory of Fleur's dear eyes smiling at him, the half-comic quiver of her lips, blurred John's vision of Sussex all the way home, and who shall say that she had not so intended?
This car's hired, John. Val's got ours. He's had to go up to town.
Why? What's up, Polly?
Well, something rather beastly. His name's been forged on a cheque for £100 by an old college friend. Do you meet him particularly decent?
I say.
A chap called Stainford. It's the third time he's played a dirty trick on Val. He seems to think Val will stand anything, but it can't go on.
I should say not. Beastly for Val.
He's gone up to consult his uncle, Fleur's father. By the way, have you seen Fleur lately?
Yes. Is there any objection to my seeing her?
Only you can know that, dear boy.
But how did he get hold of the cheque form, Val? Do you keep your cheque-book lying about?
I'm afraid I do, rather, in the country, Uncle Soames.
Oh, then you deserve all you get. What about your signature?
He wrote from Brighton asking if he could see me.
You should have made your wife sign the answer.
I didn't think he'd run to forgery.
Well, they run to anything when they're as far gone as that. I suppose when you said no, he came over from Brighton all the same?
Yes, but I wasn't in.
And he sneaked a cheque form. Well, if you want to stop him, you better prosecute. He'll get 3 years.
I can't prosecute, Uncle Soames. College pal. There but for the grace of God and all that, don't you know? One might have gone to the dogs oneself.
Well, I suppose you might. Your father was always in some scrape or other.
But somehow I've got to see he doesn't do it again.
Perhaps he's got what they call a better nature.
By Jove, Uncle Soames, I believe that's a brainwave.
Not to judge by his face.
I don't know. After all, he was born a gentleman.
That means nothing nowadays.
Could you see him, Uncle Soames?
Why should I see him?
You carry so much more weight than I do.
Well, seems to me I always have to do the unpleasant thing. Well, if you won't prosecute, you'd better leave it to me.
Tomorrow's John's last sitting. My last chance. I'll give myself to him. We belong to each other. Yes. I'm going over the top.
After dropping John at Dorking, Fleur exceeded the speed limit homewards.
Must be in London for the slums meeting. Only the welfare of the slums must appear to matter to me.
All the careful possessing of her soul since Fleur had danced with John at Nettlefold was coming to an end.
Tomorrow I'll claim my own and nobody will ever know. 7 years. Like Jacob, I've served 7 years waiting for love to be fulfilled. 7 long, long years. Tomorrow the stolen life begins. We'll eat of the forbidden fruit.
Fleur had the faith of a pretty woman in love. What she willed would be accomplished.
No chicken-hearted hesitation, no squeamishness, and no remorse. I'll arrange everything. John shall be spared all. Tomorrow, over the top.
I wanted to see you about a cheque, Mr. Stainford. My nephew's name's been forged.
Yes. Darty won't prosecute.
You seem very cocksure. My nephew has by no means made up his mind.
We were at college together, Mr. Forsyth.
You trade on that, do you? There is a limit, Mr. Stainford. I have a detective at hand only waiting for me to ring this bell. This sort of thing must stop. Well, as you don't seem to understand...
You've never been down and out, I imagine, Mr. Forsyth?
No.
I always am. It's very wearying.
In that case, you'll find prison arrest. Look here. As a gentleman by birth, give me your word not to try it on again with my nephew or any of the family, and I won't ring.
Very well. You have my word. Such as it is.
We'll leave it at that, then. But this is the last time. I shall keep the evidence of this.
One must live, Mr. Forsyth.
I don't agree.
Live? Wouldn't a fellow like that be better dead? And here I am, still keeping the family affairs straight. I wonder what they'll do someday without me.
On the mantelpiece in the drawing room was a little elder daguerreotype, slightly pinked in the cheeks, of Soames' grandfather.
Superior Dorset, founder of the Forsyth clan. 100 years since this was taken. I'd like to see where the old chap was born and bred before he emerged to build the house of Forsyth. The Forsyth tree, Aunt Anne's tree. Roots. I'll take Riggs and go down. And if Fleur won't come, well, perhaps it's as well. It'll be dull for her. Roots are nothing to young people.
This is some of your grandfather's sherry, Fleur. He lived to be 90.
Oh, to think that I might live to be 90. Such sherry.
Something the matter?
Oh, those slum committee meetings always make me feel grubby. I don't know why.
Oh, they're a waste of time. There'll always be slums. How's your picture? I think I'd better have a look at it.
Not just yet, dear. The Raphaelites are very touchy gentlemen.
Oh, they're all that. I thought of going down west tomorrow to see where the Forsyth sprang from. I suppose you couldn't take a rest and come with me.
How long will you be away, Dad?
Well, back on the third day, 'tisn't 200 miles.
Well, I'm afraid it will put the touchy gentleman out.
Well, I didn't think you'd care to. There's no kudos there.
I'm sure it'll be frightfully interesting, dear. You must tell me all about it. But what with the portrait and my rest house, I'm very tired just now.
Well, then, I'll look for you at the weekend. I always want you, you know. There's a graveyard there, they say. Oh, and that reminds me, I've bought that corner bit in the churchyard down at home. It'll do for me as well as any other. Your mother will want to go to France to be buried, I expect.
Oh, don't, dear. You'd better have some more of Grandfather's sherry. Dear Dad, thank God he'll be far away. I'm glad Kit's down at Maple Durham with Mother. He'll never know. No one will. There'll be no change except in me and John. Love, beginning to flow like a secret little river. But I dread Dad's eyes most. Thank God he's going away.
John, dear, I've got a whim. Let's get out here and go into the Robin Hill coppice. The potentate's in Scotland.
Fleur?
Oh, come on. I shan't see you again for a long time now your picture's finished.
This way, John. Through the trees here.
All right. Don't go too far.
The fine September afternoon was dying fast. The last sitting had been long and it was late, and in the coppice of larch and birch, the dusk was deepening.
Listen. Oh, still, isn't it? I feel as if we were back 7 years, John. Do you wish we were? Babes in the wood once more.
No good looking back. Things happen as they must.
The birds are going to bed. You said to be owls.
Yes. We'll hear one soon.
Oh, how good it smells. Mm.
Trees and the cowhouses.
Vanilla and hay, as the poets have it.
Yes. Here's the old log. We might sit down and listen for an hour.
No dew. I expect the weather will break soon. I love the scent of drought.
I love the smell of rain.
You and I never loved the same thing, John. And yet we have loved each other.
There goes the old clock. It's awfully late, Fleur. Listen. The owl.
Let's see if we can find him. Aren't you coming? Just a little wander, John.
All right.
Up this way, wasn't it? Oh, how quickly it's got dark. Look, the birches are still white. I love birch trees. The smoothness, John. It's like skin. There. Feel my cheek. And then the bark. Could you tell the difference except for warmth?
No.
John. Kiss me just once.
You know I couldn't kiss you just once, Fleur.
Then kiss me forever, John.
No, Fleur. No.
Things happen as they must. You said so.
Fleur, don't. I can't stand it.
I don't want you to stand it. I've waited 7 years for this. No. Don't cover your face. Look at me. I take it all on myself. The woman tempted you. But, John, you were always mine. There. That's better. I can see your eyes. Poor John. Now kiss me.
No. No.
There's nothing, John. There's nothing. Take me in your arms, John. Take me. The star's out. The moon's rising.
Not here, Fleur. Not here. I can't. I can't.
Yes, John, here. Now, I claim you.
I must.
You can't unless I let you. And I don't let you.
What have we done? Oh, Fleur. What have we done?
It was written. When shall I see you again, John?
Never. Unless she knows.
John!
Never, Fleur, never. I can't go on in secret.
John! John!
No, Fleur, I can't! I can't!
John! Oh, God. John! He'll come back. He must come back. He couldn't leave me, not now. He couldn't. John! John!
Startled, Fleur saw the moon caught among the treetops. Like a presence, watching her.
John! 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 John!
Arriving at the empty car, she drove miserably on. And only when she reached the Dorking Road did she quite abandon hope. Life seemed suddenly to have gone out.
They're all asleep. I can't wake Anne up now. I feel like a Judas. No man could have resisted Fleur's kisses in that moonlit wood. No man. I must tell Anne.
You can't unless I let you. And I don't let you.
Secrecy? Well, why not? As Fleur's secret lover, I wouldn't hurt Fleur. And by not telling Anne, I wouldn't hurt Anne.
It was written.
No, it's impossible. A man can't remain the husband of two women when one of them knows, and Fleur knows. How long would she stand for it? All that subterfuge. And young Mont's a decent chap.
When shall I see you?
I can't go on in secret. I must write to Fleur and tell her. I'll ask her to reply to the post office at Nettleford. I'll tell Anne I missed my train and had to enter the house like a burglar.
Forsyte. I dare say we'll find something in this old tithe map.
I've been up to the church, Vicar. It seems very close to the sea.
Yes. They used to use the pulpit, I'm afraid, to hide their smuggled brandy.
And I found a stone in the graveyard of a Jolyon Forsyte buried 1777. Now, he'd be my great-great-grandfather, no doubt. I fancy they were a long-lived lot. The name Jolyon seems to have been a weakness with them. The stones are very much let down.
Ah, here. I thought I remembered the name. It's unusual. Look, this field close to the sea is marked Great Forsyte.
Ah, now what size is that field?
24 acres. There was the ruin of an old house, I remember, just there. They took the stones away in the war to make our shooting range. Great Forsyte. Isn't that interesting?
More interesting if they'd left the stones.
Well, the spot is still marked with an old cross. The cattle use it for a rubbing stone.
Could I get to it with a car?
Oh, yes. By going round the head of the coombe.
Oh, good. Well, perhaps you'd kindly make a search in the register while I'm gone.
It'll take some hours.
Would 5 guineas be reasonable?
Oh, Mr. Forsyte, that would be generous.
Dear Fleur, I'm sorry I rushed away. But it was better, really. I had to think. I'm only certain of one thing yet. To go on in secret is impossible. I shan't say a word about it, of course, until you let me. But, Fleur, unless I can tell everything, it must end. You wouldn't wish it otherwise, would you? Please answer to the post office, Nettleford. John.
He wrote this before he slept. He's confused. I'll send a telegram. Must see you. Will be at Greenhill Farm tomorrow at noon. Don't fail me. F.
Great Forsyte. Oh, and then there must have been little Forsytes too. 24 acres. Quite a field.
Below Soames, the field sloped to the beach, and what looked like the ghost of a lane ran up towards the hollow from the coombe.
Oh, that's where the house must have been, in that hollow.
The air beat in from the sea, strong and salt. Ancestral.
Generations of old Forsytes, tickled in this air, tilling the land, growing rheumatic, crossing the coombe to church. Perhaps getting their brandy free.
Something moved in Soames, as if the salty independence of that lonely spot was still in his bones.
My father, James. Old Jolyon, all the uncles. No wonder they were so tenacious. Unable to give up, to let go, to die. I'm not surprised old Timothy lived to be 100. If this field were in the market, I wouldn't mind buying it, as a curiosity. Only nobody'd come and sit here. They'd want to play golf over it or something.
Still, Soames sat there, with the sunlight warming his cheeks and his eyes fixed on the sea.
It's a wonderful night, Anne.
Is it?
The moonlight's simply marvellous. Oh, sorry, darling. You'll catch cold. The moonlight got to me. In the dumps.
John, I'm going to have a child.
You...
Yes. I didn't tell you last month because I wanted to be sure.
Anne.
Wait a minute. Something's happened between you and Fleur. Everything's happened, hasn't it? Now, don't explain. Don't excuse yourself or her. Only, what does it mean?
That depends on you.
On me?
After what you've just told me. Oh, Anne, why didn't you tell me sooner?
Yes, I kept it too long.
Forgive me, Anne. Forgive me.
Oh, John, I just don't know.
I swear that I will never see her again. I think love is the cruelest thing in the world.
Yes. All right. It's over. But don't kiss me. Yet.
These old buildings certainly give one a feeling.
Soames spent the night at Winchester, and after breakfast, he went to the cathedral.
The same feeling I always have in St. Paul's.
The place is rather dark, but very rich, like a Christmas pudding.
It shows a continuity of purpose somewhere, I suppose. Well, up to a point. After that, well, you have something like this, almost perfect, and then there's an earthquake or an air raid, and down it goes. Nothing permanent about anything. I read, not in the Times, that the world's coming to an end in 1928. All predicted in the pyramids or some such scientific humbug. Well, I, for one, won't mind. The thing's never been a great success.
Sam sat very still, lost, as it were, among the arches and the twilight of the roof.
Like being in a jeweled, scented box. God box, the Americans have called it. Made before the world was industrialized. Smells of age and incense. And nothing is unbeautiful.
Ugh, one always looks one's worst in a mirror. No lip salve. John doesn't like it.
Flo went up and rang the bell of Greenhill Farm, an old house, gabled and red with Virginia creeper.
It'll be a stiff job for anyone who takes this farm. But I'll let John take it. Then that wretched conscience of his will be at rest on one score at least.
Yes, ma'am?
Oh, I was to meet Mr. Forsyte here at noon about the farm.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Mr. Forsyte came early. He was very sorry he had to go away. He left this note for you.
He's not coming back.
No, ma'am. He was very sorry, but he couldn't come back today.
Thank you.
Last night, Anne told me of her own accord that she knew what had happened. She told me, too, that she's to have a child. I have promised her not to see you again. Forgive me and forget me, as I must forget you. John.
This is the end. The end. For 4 months, he has been one long thought in my mind, and this is the end. What am I going to do? What am I going to do?
Oh, it's you, Soames. I'm not sorry you came.
How are you, June? I called for Fleur. I thought she'd still be sitting.
She hasn't been in today, nor yesterday.
Well, when did she last come here?
Tuesday morning. I saw her also late on Tuesday afternoon, in her car outside. She picked up John.
What? What was he doing here?
Sitting, of course.
Sitting? What business?
I told her she was not to see him here. I told John the same.
Well, then she had done it before?
Yes, twice. She's so spoiled, you see. If you think I want them to any more than you...
No one in their senses could want them to. But why did you make him sit while she was coming here?
You don't know how hard it is for real artists. I had to think of Harold. If I hadn't got John before he began his farming...
But I've been expecting something of this sort ever since I heard he was back. I'd better get on to Dorking. Do you know where his mother is?
In Paris.
Ah.
Soames, don't let Fleur... It's she who...
I'll hear nothing against her.
I like you for that. And I'm sorry if...
Well, that's all right.
Shake hands. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Soames arrived at 3 o'clock to hear at the rest house that Fleur had gone out with the car at 10.
Well, at least she was here overnight. If she runs off with this young man, there'll be nothing left that I really care about. The months will take Kit, and I'll be stranded among my cows and pictures, not really caring a damn for either until I die. Well, I won't have it. If it hasn't happened, I won't have it.
So you're back.
Fleur. When you've had your tea, I want you to come straight on with me to Maple Durham. Riggs will put your car away.
Just as you like.
You've been doing too much.
No. I've got a chill, I think.
I thought once I'd go in for a peacock or two. They put a finish on a garden. But they're noisy. I heard a cry once at Montpellier Square one early morning from Hyde Park. A cry as of lost passion. No, the swan's better, just as graceful, and doesn't sing.
Your Dorking house, Fleur.
Yes?
Seems a useful place. The girls...
I always feel they hate me. Why not? They have nothing, and I have everything.
Fleur's laugh cut Soames to the quick. On arriving, Fleur had gone up to her room, but then had come down again, her face thickly coated with powder.
I went up to the picture gallery before you came down.
Oh?
Went through letters and things. I left the waste paper basket overflowing. I've never torn up things with such satisfaction.
What has happened? What has happened? If the issue was still doubtful, she wouldn't look like this. This is defeat. But how? She looks as if she might do something to herself. If only she'd cry and blurt everything out. What can I say? Affection's a dumb thing.
I want a cigarette, Dad.
Hmm?
I can't eat anything, really. Just a smoke. I'm going to the drawing room. I find a craving to smoke such a sane impulse.
Well, I'll join you with a cigar.
It's hot tonight.
Yes, it is warm. But you oughtn't to be in the air if you've got a chill.
Do you mind if I strum, Dad?
Not at all. Your mother's got some French songs there.
I suppose music for me will always be Irene. That woman. The mystery how music meant so much to her, yet it never moved me. What a mischance. Irene in that little drawing room in Montpellier Square, and the very last time I saw her in that Washington hotel. She'll sit there at her piano till she dies, I suppose. Beautiful. Even then. In death. It's not Fleur's fault she loved that boy, no more than it was my fault I loved his mother. Just everyone's misfortune. My ill-starred meeting with Irene has been passed on to Fleur in my blood and is now singing its swan song of death. Swan song? Swans don't sing.
What's your favourite of my pictures, Fleur?
Oh, I don't know.
The Constable? The Stevens? The Coral? The Daumier?
I don't know.
I'm leaving the lot to the nation, but I'll want you to take your pick of four or so, and of course, that copy of Goya's Vendimia.
Grape-coloured, dancing with him.
I think I'll go to bed, Dad.
And take some aspirin. Don't you play about with a chill.
If only it were a chill.
God, can't sleep. Need exercise.
Soames was awakened by he couldn't tell what.
Is it burning, surely? There's a smell of burning. A short circuit? The thatch of the pigeon house?
A reddish, fitful light was coming from a window above.
Great God! The picture gallery! Heavens!
Little red flames were licking round the woodwork at the far end of the gallery.
The waste paper basket, all those torn letters, it's a charred wreck. Cigarette ash. Someone's been up here smoking. Fleur, wake up.
But she's still fully dressed.
Fleur!
When I bear to sleep, fully dressed. Was it? Did she?
Fleur!
What is it?
Get up. There's a fire in the picture gallery.
What? No.
Get Kit and the servants out at once. At once. Telephone to Reading for the engines. Quick!
Yes, but you...
There's a fire extinguisher in the gallery. Get everyone out of the house. Oh, the flames have spread. Good God, they're already licking at the David Coxes and the Fred Walker.
The constable must save that.
God, the heat. Open the window. Thank God. Now, where's that extinguisher? Dash knob on floor and spray flames. It works. They don't like it. The flames don't like it. Smoke too much. Giddy.
The walker's ruined. Both the Coxes.
Where's that fellow Riggs?
The Alfred Stevens. My heavens. I'm not going to lose my Stevens, nor my Gauguins, nor my Corros. My taste, trouble, money, my pride, all consumed by the Lord. No.
Oh, heavens! The Daubigny.
But I'll get that Gauguin. My favorite, the nude girl.
Won't come away from the wall! Oh, the wire's red hot. There. Got it.
Oh, sir. Mrs. Soames, sir.
Here. Take this picture and keep your heads. Miss Fleur and the boy out.
Yes,
sir. Now, get me another extinguisher. And all of you hold a blanket spread beneath the window down there and catch the pictures as I throw them out. No, don't be foolish. There's no danger.
Oh, my precious little Dagger. But I'll get the other Gauguin, and the Monet, and the Turner. That fellow Turner wouldn't have been so fond of sunsets if he'd known what fire was really like.
Dad!
Go down.
I've brought an extinguisher.
No, go out, do you hear? Go out of the house, get that blanket spread and make them hold it tight.
Dad, let me help, I must.
Go down.
Oh, such a beauty.
But not the Daumier. That's my favourite, perhaps. My very favourite. Good. A blanket ready. Now, first, the Daumier. Hold tight. Catch it. What a thing to do to a picture.
Picture after picture, Soames tipped from the sill. Picture after picture, they took from the blanket below and laid them on the grass.
The moorland. £600 worth of white pony. Catch it!
My word!
Now, Riggs, pull the pictures off that wall and tip them out of the window one by one. Now, mind you hit the blanket. Now, stir your stumps.
If you don't go down, sir, I'll have to carry you. You've been up here too long.
Nonsense, come on!
Hooray! The engines! Come along, sir.
For Vendemia! I must have that one! Here, help me! Oh, heavy!
Half carrying and half dragging, Soames bore that Spanish effigy Fleur to the window.
Now, lift!
Come away now, sir!
Tip! No, leave it! Come away!
No! No, I must! No, let me go!
Wait, sir!
I must!
Grass, trees, roof, so cool under the moon. What a nightmare. But I saved them, most of them. The cigarette ash, the waste paper basket. No doubt about the cause. What on earth induced me to mention my pictures to Fleur? Last night of all nights. Mustn't let her know. Unless she does know. Well, the shock might do her good. My little Degas, the Happinis. Well, they'll save the rest. Could have been worse. Where is Fleur? Oh, there she is. She's too near the house.
David, study there.
Ah, I knew it. Fools. They're squirting the untouched wall up there and through both windows. No! The right-hand window only. Only the right. No need.
What is it, sir?
No! No, not that wall. Not that one. That wall's all right. You'll spoil my pictures. Shoot at the center. No, the Vendemia! Don't shoot at the sill, you'll dislodge the Vendemia!
Keep back, will you,
sir? When it's tilting forward, it'll fall!
Look out, this!
Fleur!
Good God, she's standing right under it.
Fleur!
She isn't moving.
Fleur!
She wants to be killed.
Keep back, Mr. Forsyth!
Keep back, miss!
Keep back!
It's falling!
Falling. Falling.
Daddy.
Fleur. Fleur. We'll call her Fleur.
Caprice. Only I like my caprices and I don't like yours, dear.
Fleur! Look out! Fleur!
My Fleur. Flower of my life. My only love.
Daddy.
Such a comfort to see you, Gradman. You're the oldest friend we have.
Yes, a good cry would do you good, Mrs. Darty, and I shouldn't blame you. But we mustn't say die. Mr. Soames has a good constitution, and it's not as if he drank. Perhaps he'll pull round. How did it happen?
Fleur was standing below the window when the picture fell and didn't seem to realize, and he pushed her out of the way. It hit him instead. Oh. They hardly expect him to recover consciousness.
Yes, yes, but we must look on the bright side. If he comes round, I shall be there. I did wonder whether he would like Mrs. Irene told. I don't like the idea of his going with a grudge on his mind.
Oh, we needn't bother him with that, Gradman. It's out of fashion.
Well, you know best, but I shouldn't like him to go with anything on his conscience.
On her conscience, Gradman?
Well, in a case of forgiving, you never know. And I wanted to speak to him about his steel shares. They're not all they might be.
I don't see, Gradman, how things can ever be cozy again.
Nurse, I'm sure he can see me.
He's opened his eyes before.
Yes, but then he seemed to see nothing in particular. Now I'm sure he's seeing me.
Yes, there's certainly something. The stimulant must have helped. Brought him round.
Dad?
I'll telephone the doctor.
You know me, darling. It's Fleur. You remember? Darling, you're going to be all right.
Forgive me.
A kid. Nonsense.
I love you so. Yes, Dad. I will be good. Grubman is here, darling, and Mother and Aunt Winifred, Kit and Michael, and Holly and Val. Is there anyone you'd like to see?
No. You.
I am here all the time.
That's all.
Dad. Daddy. I'll never forgive myself. How could I? I did mean to be killed by that picture. And I destroyed you as surely as if I jumped in the river and you'd been drowned trying to save me.
Well, Fleur, I don't know if you care for this doll. I just picked her up.
All you wanted, all you longed for was my affection. And I never showed you enough. But I felt it, darling. I really felt it. All the time.
There, there. Let's go and see if there are some raspberries.
In accordance with all that was implicit in Soames' foresight, there was no fuss over his funeral. For a long time, indeed, he had been the only one of the family at all interested in funerals. It was a very quiet affair, only men attending. In the corner of the graveyard selected by himself, Soames Forsyte lay under a crab apple tree.
Dear heart.
Fleur was lying on her bed, graceful and as if without life.
The moment you wish, darling, we'll take Kit home.
Any time, Michael.
I know exactly how you feel. Riggs has been telling us how splendid your father was up there with a fire.
Don't.
Fleur, I wish... Oh, the words are so useless.
Give me time, Michael. Nothing matters, I suppose, in the long run. And don't worry about me. I'm not worth it.
How can one ever know exactly what Fleur feels? What nonsense.
Hello.
Hello, Holly. I was just taking a walk.
I brought a book out and tried to read. No good. I love this garden. Especially when the hollyhocks are in flower. How's Fleur?
Not good. Holly, I want to ask you a question. Don't answer if you don't want. But I feel I've got to ask.
What is it?
Can you... Will you tell me? How are things between your young brother and her? I know what there was in the past. Is there anything in the present? I'm asking for her sake, not my own. Whatever you say shan't hurt her.
Whatever there has been between them, and there has been something since he came back, is over for good. It ended the day before the fire.
I see. Why do you say it's over for good?
Because I know my young brother. He's given his wife his word never to see Fleur again. And once John gives his word, nothing, nothing will make him go back on it.
I see. Whatever it was. All right, I shall get my second wind in a minute. You needn't be afraid that I shall go back on my word either. I know I've always played second fiddle. It shan't hurt her. It's pretty hard sometimes to remember that it's all comedy. But one gets there, you know.
That evening, when the house was shuttered, Michael Mont lit his pipe and stole out again.
There's a party at some house. Dancing, probably. God, it's a beautiful night. Amazing. Billion shapes breathing in this darkness, all different. What a world. The eternal mood at work. And if one dies, like the old boy, and lies forever under a crabapple tree, well, it could be the mood just resting a moment in that still shape. No, not resting. Moving on. Moving in this rhythm we call life. What a world. That bird. That music. It's just as if a swan were singing.
In episode 16 of the Forsyte Chronicles, Galsworthy was Dirk Bogarde. Soames Forsyte was Alan Howard, Fleur, Amanda Redman, John Gary Cady, and Michael Gary Bond. Angela Pleasance played June Forsyte, Fiona Walker, Winifred, Catherine Fershpan, Anne, Elizabeth Mansfield, Holly, and Dale Rapley, Val. Gradman was played by Brian Miller. Harold Blade, Benomukwe, Stainford, Christopher Scott, the Vicar, John Bull, and the nurse, Jenny Howe. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The pianist was Mary Nash, and the director was Janet Whittaker.